And as my doppelganger, Lurch, would say, good evening. Here we go. If you open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, before we get started, I was at this afternoon, if some people are wondering around, I talked to Pastor Kenny, went up. Jay Sawyer Sr. passed away last Thursday or Friday. And many of you don't know him, but he owned the store in Fairhaven for a while. And it's one of the things, and I know both his sons, his one son is the band teacher over in Hannibal. His oldest son, Jay Jr., known for a long time, and he actually was very much involved when they put trying to protect the village when they put the sewage system in over there. But he used to live on Old State Road, and I hunted on his property, and I knew them. But they went to the Fairhaven Community Church. Jay Sr. knew Christ as Savior, and I grabbed one of his cards that they give different times, and it says, come to me. God saw you getting tired. He was 94, and he went home to be with the Lord. And a cure was not to be, so he put his arms around you and whispered, come to me. With tearful eyes, we watched you and saw you pass away. Although we loved you dearly, we could not make you stay. A golden heart stopped beating, hard-working hands at rest. God broke our hearts to prove to us he only takes the best. And that's the way your Savior looks at all of you who know him. He would give his life and gave his life for me. He gave his life for you. That's what it means to be accepted in the beloved. Don't ever lose sight of that. And I looked at his wife, Marilyn. She's 91. 91, lives still on her own, still drives. I wonder how that works. I know how this works. I know you don't want to be around me if the Lord tarries and I'm driving at 91 because you don't want to be around me now. So, but walked in and she remembered me. And that's still one of those things. Now, the family knows because Jeff helped a couple times. I asked him different things when we were looking for pianos and he gave us different things, and he has a music career besides teaching, and he's actually recorded and stuff. And Jay, known him for such a long time, but his mom looked at me and she goes, I remember you. And I knew what was coming next. You're Ginny Legault's son. So you could be praying for the Sawyer family there. He suffered. He'd been ill for quite a bit of time, but he's home to be with the Lord. And I just thank the Lord that I know that he knew Jesus. Amen? Okay, open your Bibles. One verse to start. One verse to start. The last time I preached this message, I preached it in what was then called Reformers Unanimous. And that was in 2011. And I got thinking about this because so many times we lose sight of different things. Okay, and in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, it starts out. I want you to start by verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things, what? The evidence of things not seen. You are not to live your Christian life by your feelings. You are not to just live your Christian life by the facts you can see. Okay? Because faith has a different vision than what circumstances that is around you. So it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch. Okay, I like that. Enoch was the first astronaut. Okay? Enoch believed in God and he was not. Okay? So by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And then verse 6, and it's the primary verse tonight. I'm not reading the whole list of by faith down through that. It says, but without faith. See, I didn't talk about the facts. I didn't talk about your feelings. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And he is a what? Rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. Amen? Diligently seek him. See, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And I want you to understand, the rewards are not what you seek. We must see Jesus. You seek him. The personal relationship with him. Not your children's relationship with Jesus. Not your parents' relationship with Jesus. Not your grandparents or your friends. You. Your relationship with Jesus Christ. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and sup with him, and he with me. That's fellowship, man. That's what God desires in your life. Okay? We're not to seek the rewards. You know, so many times I know in some analogies in the scriptures, it talks about running the race that you might receive the crown. Okay? But the truth of the matter is, you know what happens for the believer? When you set your affection on things above and not things here on this earth, and you keep your eyes on him, you know what naturally comes along with that? The crowns that are spoken of. Amen? Okay, so who's the rewarder? Him. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 23, it says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men. I want to stop there for a minute because you know what it comes down to? You will always do more for real love than you will do out of duty. Okay? One of the things that Pastor Christian used to use when I hadn't been saved very long is he said people thought they were really good Christians because they didn't smoke, drink or chew, or go with girls who do. And he'd say that, you know, so it's all the don't things. No, Christianity is the do things. Because love is something that is done. It's not an emotion. It's a choice of the will. It's an act of the heart, the mind, and the will. Okay? So it says there, and whatsoever ye do, do as heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And then verse 24. And I love that. As unto the Lord. We love him because he first loved us. 1 John 3 is a passage. I'm not quoting right. It's not in my notes, but it comes to mind here. And that's my little children. Let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed, actions, and in truth. Okay. And then it goes on and it says, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. If our heart condemn us not, then we have what? Confidence towards God. It's a choice. It's a choice. And you know what God says with that? Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive a reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. You don't do it to serve Pastor Kenny. You don't do it to serve your friend who's a deacon. You don't do it because your wife says you need to do it. You don't do it because your husband says, why aren't you doing this? You serve who? The Lord Christ. Don't you realize with that? Your service here amongst other believers, amongst the lost, is a service to him and for him. Amen? And because of that, it says, ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. I just started premarital counseling with a new couple. They're not from this church. They were given my name. I've got to be dealing with people over the internet in Rochester. And I talked to them about a man being a servant leader, serving the Lord and serving his wife and children in their leadership. And I started off with that. And I said, you know, you're going to find out I'm very direct, I'm very blunt. If you don't want to do counseling with me, I'm not changing. Okay? But I'm willing to try to help you. And we're going to look at what God has to say about different things with that. So we serve the Lord Christ. Just as our service ultimately is always for him and to him, no matter what we're doing, if we're doing it for the Lord, he is also where all our sin is against. David learned that, didn't he? Psalm 51. David has been challenged by, was that Nathan the prophet? Because he had Uriah the Hittite killed because he took his wife. And Psalm 51 is David's confession psalm after it was made plain to him about his sin. And David says, against thee and thee only have I done this. Okay? Turn there quickly. It's not in my notes, but the Lord's leading me in this direction. If you don't like it, take it up with him. Every preacher who's done this for any length of time knows exactly what I'm talking about. Something will come, and you want to take it that way. God leads it on your heart. See, he says here in verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Verse 4, Psalm 51, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and clear when thou judgest. He committed adultery. He committed murder. And the sin was against who? God. Now, when that gets made right, and this is why I tell people all the time, while there is life, while there is breath, there is hope, especially for the child of God. Now, watch this, okay? Verse 6 or 11 says, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. And then what does it say? Then will I teach transgressors thy way. He's back doing what? Serving the Lord. I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Look at verse 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. That's the foundation of real service. Amen? A broken vessel is a vessel that God wants to use. Now, to be used, you have to admit, because you know what, truly? We're all broken in one way or another, aren't we? So then we can serve him, okay? Because we serve the Lord Christ. It's not my abilities that make me able to serve him. Is his abilities and willingness to use me in my brokenness. Amen? Okay, rewards are normally given and established by the dignity or the position of the rewarder. The rewarder is God, and it's based on his greatness. Look at Colossians 3:17. The Epistle of Paul to the church at Colossae, chapter 3, verse 17. And whatsoever ye do in what? So what you say or deed, what you do, do all what? The name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. See? The reason we can do that is he made all things. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing you one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing make with grace in your hearts unto the Lord, and whatsoever ye do. You see it? You got to understand, it tells you in Colossians that he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Do you realize he inhabits eternity? So many times I watch people get messed up in their doctrine, and that's because they can't think in eternal sense. Everything, you know, it's like you hear the saying, there's no such thing as eternity past. It's eternity. God is eternal. There's no such thing as eternity future. He's eternal. He is the I am. Eternity is always present with him. That's too high for me. The moment that Eve sinned in the garden is right now to God. The moment of my birth is right now to God. The day I got saved is right now to God. The words that I'm speaking are right now to God. He's outside of time. He's the creator of it. He's the controller of time. Now, what does the world try to do? They try to, well, if you do this, you're going to get younger. I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way. You may feel younger, but it's appointed unto man. And after this, the judgment. You see? He's the one who controls that. He made all things, and by him all things exist. Isaiah 57 and verse 15 says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit." See, because God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Service has to come from that humility. "To revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite ones." Do you ever think about this? God speaks and it's done. Your Bible starts off that way, doesn't it? "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and earth was without form or void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light." When God says it, that settles it whether you believe it or not. You want to get in on the rewards? Believe it and serve because of it. So God is a rewarder. It's based on his greatness, to the fact that Jesus said there's none good but God. There's people who deny the deity of Christ. He is co-equal with the Father, the second member of the Godhead. He alone is the only begotten of the Father, and he sitteth on the right hand of the throne in glory. His greatness, and it's based on his goodness. Psalm 31 and verse 9. Judy and I are going through some things. She's going through it, and I'm going through having to say I can't do anything about it, but pray and trust God to take us through it. Okay? Doesn't change. God is always good, and God is always right. We don't always understand. The premise is not that we don't understand. The premise you must base your choices on is that he is always good and he is always right. One day we're going to understand that. We don't always understand it now, but we will understand it then. It's based on his goodness. Psalm 31, verse 19, "Oh, how great is the goodness which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men." They see our trust before a lost and dying world, and they have something, they see something, we have something they don't have. Your first testimony is supposed to be the life you live before them. Pastor C used to say, "Bryant, you got to teach people what you're doing is speaking so loud I can't hear what you're saying." Because they'll use any excuse to avoid it. I got a chance to lead a man to the Lord at Hammermill Paper Company because Gary Honkins had witnessed to him. Gary was one of the first men I led to the Lord. He was one of the original early deacons of this church. Okay? And Gary got mad at that guy one day, and they had a bad time after he'd witnessed to him. And within a week, I had to work with this other electrician. He was a newer one in the mill. And I tried to witness to him, and he goes, "If you're talking to me about the same stuff that Gary is, I don't want it. He's a hypocrite." And I said, "No, he's a sinner saved by grace. So he's going to heaven. He's not perfect yet, but he will be one day. And if you look at me, I'm going to let you down too. But there's one who won't let you down. And there's one you're going to answer to. And there's one who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." within about 45 minutes, because we're working on the specialized equipment, running some tests, using oscilloscope and other things, he starts crying. Had to remove his willingness to blame it on the how he saw someone else who's not perfect. Guess what, people? I'll let you down. I'll say the wrong thing. I'll get angry when I'm not supposed to. Never, right, honey? No. She's got glasses on, so I can't even read her eyes, okay? She has to protect that. But, and so won't you, right? You will not be perfect. That doesn't mean you do not witness. It does mean when they bring up something that maybe you're doing wrong, because of your love for Christ, you know what you do? You endeavor to change it. Doesn't remove you with the responsibility of serving him and witnessing for him. What's the only sin that sends someone to hell? Rejecting Christ, the sin of unbelief. Okay? So you need to tell them. There's a Savior come who paid the price for them and for the rest of us hypocrites. I'm part of a family. I am a saint in Christ. Don't believe that? What did he call them in Rome? What did he call them in Philippi? What did he call them, I believe, in Galatia? You could look through that. The saints. They're the believers. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the... He gave me his righteousness. I'm a saint, one declared righteous by God. That's what the word means. So therefore, I can serve him in love because he first loved me. So we serve him because of his greatness. We serve him because of his goodness. We serve him because of his faithfulness. And we'll probably finish with that tonight and continue this next week, okay? Turn to Philippians chapter 2. I love Philippians. It's a book that talks about joy. Joy, or a synonym of that word, is used multiple times all through the book of Philippians. It's also a book about service. You know what helps me know? My joy will come in my relationship with him and my service to him that reaches out to others. Philippians, be based on his faithfulness. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, written to the believers, to the saints in Philippi, to those who know Christ as Savior. Are you saved tonight? If not, you need to be saved. You're going to split hell wide open. All right? Burning in torments. But if you are saved, this world is not your home. You're just a passing through. Amen? Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because he was the second member of the Godhead. But made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a what? The form of what? A servant. And was made in the likeness of men. And being found fashioned as a man, he did what? Humbled himself and became obedient unto the death of the cross, even the death of the cross. He took on the form of a servant. He humbled himself, which brought about obedience. Wherefore, see how this works? Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, they bow to Jesus, and things in earth and under the earth. So here and under us. Do you realize that in hell they lift up their eyes and they declare what? Jesus is Lord. And under the earth, in that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Satan one day will, before being cast into the lake of fire, okay, be prostrate before him, okay, crying out, Jesus is Lord. He won't be saying, I will exalt my throne above the stars of heaven. He won't be saying, I will be like the Most High. He'll be saying, Jesus is Lord. God the Father kept his word to Jesus Christ, his Son. God is faithful, because God is not a man that he could lie. Jesus is the only man, because he was fully God and fully man, who never lied. Boy, I'd hate to go to school with him. Right? How'd you like that? Did Jesus get angry? Yes. But it was always righteous anger, because it was about false things being said about God. Outside of that, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So many times, you know what? If we'd get upset about what people say about God, then hold them accountable for that. But when it comes to us, we say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We'd probably be a little farther along. Amen? So it's based on his greatness, on his goodness, and on his faithfulness. That's the one who gives us our reward. There's no jelly beans given instead of the bonus at Christmas time with God. Okay? He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews chapter 2, and then we'll finish for tonight. See, I told you. My wife reminded me when I said, I don't know how to close this service down, or I can't stop the message in this place. And she goes, listen, you went to India, and Steve Ford gave his testimony. He was supposed to have 10 minutes to give the testimony. He gave his testimony for 45 minutes. Because he left his father here, who he'd led to the Lord, but he left his father dying here to serve over there. And Paul looked at me and he goes, preacher, you have five. So between the scripture verses and the testimony of a man that they realized God loved them enough that a man was willing to leave his father to come to minister to them, and me just running to the cross for 5 minutes. Was it 10 people that night? Accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior at the end of that service. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So I can do this in 5 minutes. You just won't see it. Okay. Hebrews chapter 2 verses. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower, Hebrews 2 and verse 9, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. That's grace towards us, suffering for him. For it became him who, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things. You know what that's saying? That's Colossians chapter 1. For all things were created by him, and by him all things consist. That's your cross reference back. If you don't know how to do that, read your Bible. For whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. He is the rewarder. I encourage you tonight. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Work on your relationship with him. The rewards will come. In glory, you'll get glory that you can give to him then for the greater glory. You know what they do with the crowns? You weren't here? They throw them at his feet over there. Amen? So it's all about him. All about him. And all God's people said, amen. Good night and God bless.